As I said, I'll be preaching from Psalm 118, but before we go to Psalm 118, I would like to share just a brief portion of Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. Paul writes to the church in Rome, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, danger, or the sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Verse 37 is the one I bring to your attention. "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword should never separate us from that. Overcoming those things or those people or circumstances that can hold us back, we are more than conquerors because of the steadfast love of our Lord God through Jesus Christ. And why are we the recipients of such grace? Why are we more than conquerors? It is because of the love of God and the love God has for his children, for his elect, those he calls his own." Now, Doug, if you would, Psalm 118. Now, as I prepare to read this, it's a very unique psalm. It is much like a responsive reading psalm that we would do in worship service. I think the word is antiphonal, where one side of the congregation would say one part and the other side of the congregation would say another part. And so that's sort of how this psalm goes. Now, what is the reason for the psalm? Well, it is a psalm of great victory. Imagine a conquering king coming in from battle. In Israel's past, this could be King David, this could be King Hezekiah. Or there are many scholars today that think this psalm was actually written after the exile, when the Israelites left Babylon and were headed back to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the temple, to begin to rebuild their lives. And so here's this great psalm of victory, the great psalm of the victorious people. And so the leader of the psalm speaks out and the people respond. The leader speaks and the people respond. It's a very interactive kind of psalm. And as I read it to you, I will try to point out the different parts, but I think you probably will be able to tell. So hear the word of God, the inerrant, inspired word of God. And first of all, the leader speaks. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." The people respond. "Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." And then the leader responds, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me, the people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." The leader once more, "All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." The people respond, "Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." The leader, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord." The people, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it." The leader, "I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." The people, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Then finally, the leader once more. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. The enemies are overthrown. The people have been released from captivity. The challenges have been met and survived. The trial did not defeat. And God's people are victorious. And the Lord is given credit. The psalmist writes, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. He closes the psalm by saying the same thing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever. And so here we have this great victory. We have this great celebration. We have this great acclamation to the Lord God and all that he has done. And again, it could be the king coming back from a victorious battle, or it could be the Israelites coming back from Babylon after their captivity. But all was not easy. Verse 5, the psalmist says, Out of my distress I called on the Lord. Verse 10, all the nations surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like fire among thorns. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord provides. The Lord provides his strength. The Lord answers and sets free. The Lord is acknowledged for his provisions. Now, we could look at this psalm, as I said, as a king coming back from battle. Or the nation of Israel coming back, but I want to turn this and make it a very personal psalm. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 15 and 1600s, he identified this psalm as his most favorite. And while it may speak of the release of the nations of Israel from captivity, as I said, it can be very personal. It speaks of personal challenges. It speaks of being rescued from those challenges. And as I know the story, the history of Martin Luther, he faced many. But this psalm is here for you as well. It's here for me as well. How many of you could just as easily say, as the psalmist did in verses 5 through 7, Out of my distress I called upon the Lord. Have you not done that? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Folks, we need to remember that. Verse 7, The Lord is on my side. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. How many of you have found through experience that verses 8 and 9 could be said of you? It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Any of you ever been betrayed? Any of you ever been lied to? Anyone ever had someone close to you turn away? Put your trust in someone only to find out that they're not trustworthy. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Here in our materialistic world, we need to remember that. Our president is not going to save us. The Congress is not going to save us. The Supreme Court is not going to save us. But it is the Lord that we put our trust in. How many of you have uttered the words of verse 13? I was pushed hard so that I was almost falling. But the Lord helped me. I can't help but to think back on Marley's passing after I got the phone call this morning of John Roby being injured on a four-wheeler. Pressed hard that day. But the Lord has helped us. How many of us have realized through life's trials that verse 14 is our It should be our motto. It should be the verse that's in our mind all the time. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. And so we, like the people whose victory is recounted in this psalm, should do as they did in verse 17. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. telling other people about the victories we've witnessed in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. We should acknowledge the Lord's hand leading us so that one day we can enter into the courts of the Lord, just as this psalmist says, "Open the gates of righteousness to me." We all look forward to that day. I hope we do look forward to that day when we meet the Lord Jesus face to face, entering those gates of righteousness, and we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But until that time lingers, we count upon the steadfast love of the Lord. We recount the ways God has, like King David or King Hezekiah or the people of Israel as they left captivity, like Noah and his family on the ark, the Lord's love is shown to his children. The love is shown to those he protects and provides for. Once again, the words of Paul from Romans chapter 8. He says, "It is written, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And let me read on. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you hear that? Do you hear those words? Tribulation, persecution, distress, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why? Remember the sermon several weeks back when we talked about this phrase, the steadfast love of God. Hesed is the Old Testament word. It means a loyal love. It means a covenantal love. It's a love built on God's character that cannot change. So if you're one that professes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as that, your Lord, then you are captured. You are encircled in that steadfast love, and it can never change. The next trial you face, remember these words. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Heights nor depths, things of this earth, things of heaven, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, as we have been going through the Psalms and moving through those that we identify as the Messianic Psalms, this is a Messianic Psalm. It points to Jesus Christ. Verses 22 through 23 of Psalm 118. I'll read those to you again. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Jesus applied those verses to himself. Several New Testament writers, Paul in Ephesians, Peter, also acknowledged Jesus Christ to be that cornerstone that the builders rejected, but yet that cornerstone is now in place and has become that stumbling block to those who do not believe. He became the chief cornerstone in the church. Verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Sound familiar? Every Palm Sunday we read the text where the people cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they were pointing to Jesus Christ. Who is our Savior in times of trial? Who is that one that brings the hesed, the love of God to us through the trials and temptations and heartaches? It is Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. Psalm 118 is pointing to Jesus Christ. The entire psalm, does this not recount the battles of our Lord during his life? Did he not give thanks to the Lord throughout his earthly ministry? Did he not say of the people that were surrounding him, bringing the trials, the lies against him during his trial? Did not the entire enemies of Jesus Christ surround him and seek to cut him off, seek to kill him? But yet through the cross, through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, as a psalmist would say, he cut them off. Paul states in Ephesians chapter 2, this application to us. What does this victory in Christ mean to us? What does this victory of the people of Israel mean to us that we see in Psalm 118? Paul writes of it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, I'll read. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love." Now, in the New Testament, we see the word agape. It's that relational love, love your neighbor, agape. But in this context, it's based in the steadfast love, the covenantal love of God. "Being rich in mercy, because of great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. A very unique phrase here, seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, do you know that you're in heaven now? In Christ Jesus, we are seated in the heavenly realms. Now, I know that's a little hard for the mind to grasp. But in a represented way, Christ Jesus, when he was resurrected, did that on behalf of his people, so that he was the first fruit from the grave. When we pass from this place, just like Jesus Christ, if we acclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior, then that throne room is ours, just as it is Christ's. Although it doesn't feel like we're in heaven many times, does it? No, it doesn't. Go back to Psalm 118. Go back to Romans 8. We are more than conquerors because of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Life is hard. Our enemies are all around us. The challenges seem very, very hard and never ending. Heartache comes without warning. I picture Jimmy Gray last night because it was his four-wheeler that John Roby ran into and got thrown off. Imagine how Jimmy feels. Heartache. Amanda looking at her son, not being able to do a thing. But I hope they know, and I'll tell them when I get there, they are not defeated. You are not defeated. Whatever God would allow in a trial to come to you, you are not defeated. I'm going to leave you with a few verses here from Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Please never forget, the steadfast love endures forever and never ends. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for this beautiful word, the steadfast love of God endures forever. Let all the people say, his steadfast love endures forever. In our distress, let us call out and know that the Lord will answer. Let us know within our hearts that the Lord is on my side. He is on my side and my helper, and I shall look in triumph upon all things that face me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.